This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at AWS App Config. Engineers love to solve and occasionally create problems, but not when it's an on-call fire drill at 4 a.m. Software problems should drive innovation and collaboration, not stress and sleeplessness and threats of violence. That's why so many developers are realizing the value of AWS App Config feature flags. Feature flags let developers push code to production, but hide that feature from customers so that the developers can release their feature when it's ready. This practice allows for safe, fast, and convenient software development. You can seamlessly incorporate App Config feature flags into your AWS or cloud environment and ship your features with excitement, not trepidation and fear. To get started, go to snark.cloud/appconfig. That's snark.cloud/appconfig. It's a pattern that's haunted me my entire career, and it starts like this. Step one, encounter technical problem. Step two, search in vain for an answer. And step three, lose all hope. I once again stumbled through this sequence while I was puttering around with my last tweet in AWS Twitter shitposting client recently. So allow me to take you on a little journey with me through my painful experience. In case you hadn't heard of it before, Last Tweet in AWS is a free-to-use Twitter client that makes creating Twitter threads easier while providing passable image recognition and OCR to create alt text for images. It's built atop serverless technologies, and it's served from about 20 AWS regions, depending on which is the closest to the user. Because it uses AWS's API gateway V2 or HTTP APIs, it only listens on port 443 via TLS. That service will not listen on port 80. This is fine. I don't want people passing sensitive information around in plain text. The problem I run into is when I forget to explicitly put an HTTPS in front of the domain, then a service, such as, amusingly, Twitter, attempts to direct traffic when anyone clicks that link to port 80 instead. When this happens, the connection attempt fails, and it looks to everyone like there's no website working at the domain in question, and I don't know what I'm talking about. There is no great answer for this that doesn't dramatically overcomplicate things. The official AWS answer is to go ahead and slap CloudFront in front of the site. Great, genius plan. That would mean I need to either configure 20 origins for the CloudFront distribution and find some way to get them to pick the closest one to the user, or else undo the benefit of having a multi-region setup. Every request here is dynamic, so there's no caching benefit to doing any of this. This was the state of things when I found the one answer that at least somewhat mitigates the concern. In 2012, a standard was released called HTTP Strict Transport Security. While it's fairly complicated, because this is the internet after all, it states that a website can return a header named Strict Transport Security that specifies a length of time. Browsers remember that, and for the length of that time, refuse to even attempt to connect to the site over an unsecured connection on port 80. While that works well for folks who've visited the site before, a combination of traffic analysis, a careful counting of the number of commas in my AWS bill, and basic arithmetic all indicate that far more people have not visited Last Tweet in AWS than have done so before. So what good would this do for the 99.9999% of the internet population that hasn't experienced my wisdom yet? And this is where the HSTS preload list comes into play. This is a list of domains that return the proper header, and it's periodically loaded into all major web browsers. Once the domain is added to this list and circulated to the browser providers, this problem gets solved for basically everyone because it winds up only ever connecting on port 443. That said, this process does take months to complete. My problem, and the reason for the post that became this podcast, was in figuring out how to set a static header on the V2 HTTP API. And here's where it got horrible. A few things make this a very hard thing to search for online. API gateway is a common term. HTTP API is such an incredibly overbroad term across all manner of vendors as to be effectively impossible to search for. Most combinations of search terms that I tried, both on Google and begrudgingly on AWS's own documentation search dingus, led me to the same narrow subset of search results. Now, I'm no $1.434 trillion company, but it seems to me that if you're running any form of analytics on your documentation traffic and you see the same user arriving at the same page repeatedly over the course of an hour via a variety of paths, perhaps this might be signal that they're looking for something that they're not finding. I abhor pop-ups when I'm trying to get something done, but the fifth time I'm staring at the same page wondering what it is that I don't understand, that would be a great time for the documentation to offer to help me more effectively.
This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Sysdig. Sysdig secures your cloud from source to run. They believe, as do I, that DevOps and security are inextricably linked. If you want to learn more about how they view this, check out their blog. It's definitely worth the read. To learn more about how they are absolutely getting it right from where I sit, visit sysdig.com and tell them that I sent you. That's sysdig.com. And my thanks to them for their continued support of this ridiculous nonsense.
I finally found the answer via a carefully constructed code search on GitHub, which shouldn't have been necessary, but did work out for me in the end. Now, for the record, the answer here is that whenever you have something returning data to the API gateway, have it insert whatever arbitrary header you want into that response via the middleware or whatever else it's doing, and the API gateway v2 will pass it through without comment. But that was basically impossible to discover without a whole bunch of experimentation. So to do it, I set the header accordingly, and everything just worked. The larger problem is that when we're faced with a technical challenge, how do I do this is the burning question that looms large in all of our minds. We search and we plumb the depths of forum threads that haven't been updated in a decade in pursuit of the magic answer that sorts us out. It eludes us, it drives us slowly mad, and then we figure it out. See, it turns out there are five steps to this harrowing developer pattern. 1, encounter technical problem. 2, search in vain for an answer. 3, lose all hope. 4, eventually discover an answer. And 5, don't bother to publish the answer for the next sucker. Here's the problem. None of us goes back to all of those dead ends to update the long-forgotten forum posts. We don't return to Stack Overflow and update old questions. I mean, they just get closed as off-topic anyway. We don't hit the surprisingly effective feedback button on the footer of every AWS documentation page. And this is the problem I don't have an answer for, and it's haunted me for my entire career. If you have an idea to solve it, and it doesn't involve me paying some sketchy startup a pile of money for unclear value, please reach out to share it with me. Because if not, then you can more or less expect a blog post or a video or a podcast like this one, so the next poor sot who tries to set a static header on an AWS V2 API gateway to enable HTTP strict transport security can find the answer easily enough after they listen to the rest of this screed.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.